Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community station broadcasting from the Cultural District of Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only, and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This first series of shows has been a general overview of the big picture of debt in its four basic stages: the pre-debt stage before we take it on, 2, the comfortable stage of having debt, 3, the slippery slope stage, and 4, the apparent abyss one can fall into financially. This show provides practical general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. As is always, get some notebook, paper, and pen for later in the show to take notes. First, we always start with some debt-related news and facts for the week. This past week, President Bush has given a press conference, and I'd like to share some of the main points, particularly if you've missed the conference. As you may have heard, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have had some financial difficulties, and the President said, "We have a plan for Fannie and Freddie during this time of financial distress." Fannie and Freddie need to remain shareholder-owned companies, he said. He also said that Congress needs to authorize drilling on offshore areas. He mentioned that all executive limitations on offshore drilling have been removed. And these points I'm bringing out because they all affect thinking by the current administration. He also said, "We are going through a tough time, but the economy remains strong." He mentioned that the federal government stands behind your deposit up to $100,000 as insurance. President Bush said, "Your deposits are good. We got you insured. You don't have to worry about it. Take a deep breath." He mentioned that the banking system is basically sound. President Bush also said that the economy is growing and productivity is up. He said, "We are not in a recession. The economy is definitely growing." He pointed out that the stimulus package, that tax rebate, has not kicked in. He said the worst thing we could do now is to raise taxes. The president says, "We do not intend to bail out private enterprise. Fannie and Freddie actions are not bailouts. The shareholders still own the company. We offered assistance because most people always thought we would support these mortgages and mortgage companies. We will not bail out General Motors, for example," the president mentioned. He said, "We have to ensure confidence in the mortgage markets, so we had to support Fannie and Freddie. I do not think this gives them special treatment. They just need more regulation. We are giving them an explicit guarantee for their financial obligations." The president went on saying that gasoline prices are based on a psychology that demand exceeds supply, but he says this is not true. "We need to drill offshore and in Alaska to reverse this psychology." The president said, "If I had a magic wand, I could lower the price of gas." He continued that the fundamental issue is the need to find more oil and gas at home. "I cannot help it that it will take 7 years to get the oil to the market." He said, "If we had done this 7 years ago, things would be fine now." President Bush mentioned that presidential candidate Obama should listen to the generals and not the polls. He said that we want to get our troops out of Iraq as conditions permit and based on success. He also mentioned that Obama should not listen to the MoveOn.org group. He continues saying that, "I cannot predict what will happen to the price of oil, but unless we start drilling, the prices will continue to go up. I am discouraged by the fact that many countries subsidize the sale of gas, such as China." "We are in a transition period," the president said. "We are moving away from carbon-based fuels. We knew what was coming from day one and that gas prices were going up, but no one listened," the president said. He continued that the war on terror is being fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. "We are involved in a war and not in a policing operation." He continued, we have to deny safe havens for these killers who are after us. Another point he mentioned was that we are open-minded to a second tax stimulus package. He said Americans are smart enough to decide whether or not they want to drive less, drive slower, or look at smaller cars. It is not up to the government to tell them what to do. People can figure out what to do and balance their own checkbooks. It would be presumptuous on my part to tell the people what to do with their money, said the president. He continued, we are working on an agreement with Iraq regarding the presence of U.S. troops. This is part of the security agreement. We are moving to an overwatch position, but we need authority to operate and take actions with our special op troops in order to be able to stay and watch over things. This is what we are working on. I cannot comment further on the details, said the president. He said that the problems with the price of gas are as simple as supply and demand. We have more demand than supply. The president said, I am not an economist, so I do not know when the economy will turn around. I am an optimist. It is not going the way it should. All I know is that good policy will help the economy, but it is growing. He continued that Congress needs to get moving on the housing legislation now, and finally, that politics is choking good sense in Washington. So all these points, even the Iraqi points, are related to the economy and what we're experiencing here at home right now because of the way the government is acting and reacting with money locally, domestically, and throughout the world. In other matters, American Air just announced that it is terminating 200 full-time pilots. Again, more lost jobs in that industry. On another front, General Motors' bid to survive. The stock is at 50-year low, with stock trading under $10 per share at General Motors. It cut 20% of all of its salary jobs. General Motors is going to suspend all dividends. It's selling $7 billion worth of assets. It is eliminating all discretionary cash bonuses. It is taking away health care for salaried workers. It's cutting its truck production by 300,000 units. It will sell Hummer and other brands. And it is considering eliminating certain lines like Buick and other models. So these are just some more important indications in the current financial trends of the nation. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. And now we'll go into the current issues. We're in the comfortable stage of debt and making long-range plans to stay there, and if not, to get there by continuing to take control of our financial situations, creating balance in our budgets. I want to give an important credit that the thoughts, ideas, and examples are used from the works, theories, and books of Professor Elizabeth Warren from Harvard and her daughter Amelia Warren Tyagi, two of America's leading champions for debtors. Many of the concepts in these programs are derived directly from their works. Two of their books that I highly recommend are All Your Worth and The Two Income Trap. Another point is that these shows build one upon another, and you can get a review of previous shows at the archives. The archive address is www.liptaklaw.com/lifeanddebt. That's liptaklaw.com/lifeanddebt in lowercase letters. In the last couple of weeks, we've been working on our bare necessities and trying to cut the costs so we can have a more manageable bare necessities, get it within that 50% range of our disposable income. So a little bit of a recap from last week's show. Child care costs is a very sensitive issue, but it's one place where we can perhaps save money on bare necessities because it is very expensive for most people. We certainly want to find the right fit for our child, but we still need to consider shopping around based on price. And we do this by talking with other parents, where do they send their kids, the cost, We check the full range of options, churches, synagogues, YMCA, or even families teaming up, but best to check on the family's backgrounds. Check the area where you work, not just where you live. If that's a different neighborhood, sometimes you get a better option there. And ask about discounts for two kids. And don't forget to take child care deduction on your taxes. So these are some issues with the child care costs for you. And if this could be reduced, then of course you're more within your bare necessities target. What we mentioned last week was that even if you've done all these things we've mentioned, child care costs, etc., and if you're still not 50% or even close to your bare necessities in the range of 50% of your disposable net income, that's your gross income every month minus your taxes, then it's time to look at radical changes to put you in line with the reality of what your income. And two of those changes that we mentioned were a new job and moving. And these can be difficult, if not painful, yet may be the only way to real financial success and progress for an individual. If you're looking at a new job, this will increase your income. And we've been trying to show ways to cut costs with houses and cars and insurance. But if you can also increase your income, that's one way to improve your bare necessity working capital. It may be that you're self-employed, as we said, and it might be the time, if you're struggling, you're not in that bare necessity range, to get a traditional job. If that business is not really producing, if it's having some challenges, this could be a temporary thing, but it is something that you should definitely look at. Or maybe it's time for a better education so you can get a promotion. If it's been more than 2 years since you checked out other companies that employ similarly skilled people, then do it now. Hunt for a job, get information, take time as you have a job and you can take time, but you can look around. So you can be patient about getting a new job, but you should look. You can use placement agencies, check online for postings, tell your friends you're looking for a better paying job. You just got to put it out there and you may be able to land something. Also, you should check out extra part-time work in areas that are based on your work experience, skills, and hobbies. Things you like to do. This will make it more attractive, more pleasant while you're doing it, and while you're earning money. You can teach and tutor, and so that will make more income for you. You may also need more education and training. That's just a fact of life. Short-term effort for long-term rewards is what we're looking at here, long-term financial picture. People with degrees get much more income than people without degrees. Statistically, as we said last week, the median income of college graduates is 63% higher than the median income of high school graduates. And for female adults, the median income of college graduates is 70% higher than for high school graduates. And for men, it is 63%. The female gap has always been greater. And as the economy is becoming more global and the competition we're facing from other countries for lower wages in the labor market make it more and more important for people to have some form of post-high school education, according to all the experts. Another thing we looked at was the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and we saw that people with doctoral degrees are making much, much more than people with high school degrees, three times as much between a high school degree and a doctoral degree. For professional degrees, it's about the same. So, for example, if you have some high school, you have about a $419 median weekly earning in U.S. dollars. A doctoral degree is closer to $1,450, and a professional degree is $1,500 in terms of your weekly median earnings. A master's degree, $1,200, bachelor's degree, almost $1,000, associate degree, $750, some college, $675, and a high school graduate, about $600. So you're looking at the need for more education to increase the amount of income. We also looked at the fact that we may have only one spouse at home, and it may not make sense in today's economy built on the two-income model to keep somebody at home if there's some way for that person to make income. I know it's a very important principle to perhaps be at home for children, or if there's some disability that we have to be at home. But if we could get a part-time job, get some of the bills covered, even temporarily, we can get some of the major debts paid off. One possible suggestion is, if you're in the kids' situation, to do some at-home nurse daycare kind of activity to make money by bringing kids in, or bringing a person in that needs to have some daycare. So these are all ways to bring your bare necessity percentage into a manageable range, that you actually have that 50% or less of your income going to bare necessities. So it's very important that you do some of these things, consider some of these things to protect yourself, and not just protect yourself temporarily. This is a long-term vision, to get your bare necessities at 50%, to get your savings at 20%, and to get your wants, the extra things besides bare necessities, at 30%, as a 100% picture that is balanced long-term, and it can cover all the bases as there is challenges coming up in life, or there are some more issues that you need to deal with in the long range. But ultimately, to have a balanced budget, a balanced use of your disposable net income over time, and put some money away for later on to enjoy life and for your retirement, etc. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. So we've looked at the bare necessities and ways to deal with reducing the problems of not meeting the bare necessities. But it could be that you still can't make that bare necessities with roommates, boarders, higher paying job, reduced insurance costs, a refinanced house, getting a used car rather than having your new car. Well, then you have to make some more radical changes. Maybe it's time to consider moving if you are living in a home you really can't afford. I have lots of clients in this area, and it's just the nature of the economy, but it's a realistic, honest appraisal of where we are and what we have to do. You have those adjustable rate mortgages that are going to reset, the value of your house is reducing. All these things are challenges in the current economy. So you have to be honest. You have to think honestly about whether or not a move would be the best thing for you and your family. Foreclosures, as you have seen in the media, are astronomical in the last 18 months, 2 years. They're continuing. The amount of defaults are up in the millions and millions, and the prediction is that it's just going to get worse as the subprime and now even prime mortgage industry defaults are going into the reality of an economy in recession. So you want ultimately to have a life of prosperity and should not be part of these foreclosure statistics. It may be that you just need to move to a more affordable place. Now, the timing is important, and if you decide to do this, if you have no prospects for great improvement in your bare necessities in the next year, the next 18 months, like getting a new job, getting married, some transitional thing that is big, perhaps education, like we've discussed. However, if your job is stable, you have a stable relationship, there's no plans on leaving the city, there's really nothing on the horizon that is going to promise a greater change to your income or meeting your bare necessities, then the move may be your best option. And when you think of moving, you have to find a place where you can live safely, that suits you, of course, and your temperament, your personality, your family, and of course, which is less expensive. If you're a householder, we know that in the current market, selling the house is not that easy. Your home's value may have declined, and with real estate agents' fees, which can be very expensive, it may be a challenge. So if that is what we're looking at, it may be worthwhile to just move temporarily to lower the cost for you and rent out your house. That might be a solution. Can you rent your home for the mortgage amount? Can you find people who are good, reputable people to rent your home? Maybe you can actually rent it for more than your mortgage amount and you can pocket some money. And then you can catch up on your bills that are creating you to be in this red zone for the bare necessities, or your circumstances might change and you can move back in. If you think about doing this, make sure kids' schooling is properly covered. This is a big issue for most people. You want to have your kids, hopefully, maybe they can stay in the same school district. Sometimes you switch school districts and you can still go to school or have the kids go to school where they formerly lived. And there's open enrollments or continued enrollment after the move. But call the school district about that. Don't get that from a real estate agent or somebody who's just trying to rent to you. Call the people who would know. Another option, which maybe you have thought of, but maybe you haven't, is perhaps to move in with your family. Your parents, your brother or sister, if they have space, can help get you back on your feet financially. And this can be a great financial benefit to them if you're paying them something. And if you both recognize how much of a benefit, a two-way street benefit there is here, then I think most people could feel very happy to help in this way, because it usually doesn't mean a whole lot of cost for either side if the space is available. And if it turns out that you just do decide to move back in with your family or in with a brother or sister, or you get a different place while you rent your home, set a timetable, something concrete to get back into your own place. Don't hold this as something that is for forever. It's a situation that is a temporary situation, and so set a timetable. As circumstances change, even before the end of that timetable, you can still move. But it's really important to have something concrete. So now we're at the point where you can look at your total bare necessities expenses before these new cuts, and then take away any of the items which we've discussed in the last couple of shows that you've saved on due to those suggestions, and get a new bottom line of the bare necessities. Is this 50% or less of your disposable monthly income? Hopefully yes. Then you have arrived at the goal. Also, a thing to consider is that sometimes it is okay to go higher than 50% in your bare necessities because of unusual and temporary circumstances, such as you have a new child, so there's some additional costs with that. There's a serious illness, you're returning to school, you've lost your job, or you're starting a new business, for example. These are all temporary, and it allows us to let our money get a little out of balance for a while, although we don't want to keep it that way for very long. However, if everything is normal and we're still not making 50% level, then that is a red flag. And you have to look at this financial reality very carefully, and you have to be honest about it. If your job situation is just going to continue as is, if you're paying an expensive mortgage, you have big health insurance bills or car payments, or you're divorced, these are not going to be temporary things. They will have that same impact on your income. But if these things that we talked about are just temporary, then those circumstances putting you out of balance should be able to be address from a long-range plan, a safety net, which is what we've been trying to develop here. A savings part of the plan can kick in if you've been saving some money and have that 20% there. And it's also a time when you can scrimp on the wants part of the plan, the vacations, the new clothes, put more into savings or put more towards the bare necessities. And if you do have to go out of balance because of these temporary conditions, you should set a timeline as a goal for bringing the bare necessities back in balance. Have a clear endpoint in mind. Make it concrete, even if you have to adjust it later on. So, for example, that time ending point can be that the car loan is being paid off at that point. Then you're going to be okay on your bare necessities. Or that student loan is finally done. Or that you're going to be able to take on more work because some of the kids are going to school now and they weren't before, they were at home. Those are all issues that can set the end point for the temporary need to go over on your bare necessities. And finally, on the whole bare necessities issue, once you're in balance, you can leave it alone for a while. You have that 50% or less, but periodically you should revisit the formula and do some accounting just to keep on progressing. You now have the tools to do it, and it won't be hard for you to look at refinancing your home, getting a cheaper car, getting a better job and doing that search. You can always come back and revisit the bare necessities percentage and make sure that you're doing well there. And then also, if there's some major transition, it's a good time to revisit the bare necessities percentage. If you change your job, marriage, birth, change of a family structure some way, there's a move, significant change in your income, or a significant change in your expenses before your next major purchase, like a home or a car, these are all things that you need to look at as trigger points to revisit your bare necessities percentage. So in this segment of the shows, we've looked at your bare necessities. You're creating a new way of thinking about your money. It's really simple. Your bare necessities, your disposable net income should be 50% of your disposable net income equals your bare necessities. And it's either there or it's not. If yes, you can focus on life and the people and issues that are in your life and not just money-related things. You can relax and enjoy more if you have made this first major step in your long-term financial picture. And the final tip for the week is that this might be a good time for you to dump your adjustable rate mortgage if you can. In the last few weeks and days, the Federal Reserve interest rates have been reduced to very low rates, but there have been many hints from the Fed of rate hikes in the next 12 to 18 months. And this puts homeowners who have arms in line to take a beating. And worse yet, with the real estate bubble still deflating, home prices are shrinking, which will make it tougher for many homeowners to actually get the job done. So refinance now, if you can, out of adjustable rate mortgages to fixed loans without any balloon payments. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.